Blog Talk Radio.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down a plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back this country from the hand of the enemy.
Let the church unite.
Get up, stand up and fight. God's army is
life. Hey, hey, let the church unite.
Well, good afternoon. And to God be the glory for all the wonderful, awesome, positive, and great prayers that has been answered for your family and my family on this past week. I pray that you had a joyful, productive, and amazing blessed week as well as weekend, for God is truly good all the time. Amen. While you are listening to the sound of my voice at this time, God truly woke you up this morning. And that was the start of your blessings for this glorious day. He didn't have to do it, but he surely did. For someone somewhere was not able to get out of bed this morning, and you were. So go ahead and give God a high note of praise. God loves you so much that he gave you another chance to get it right with him on today. God is faithful and worthy to be praised. So continue to look for your blessings every day. Do you agree? We need to complain less and certainly pray more. Today is June the 20th, 2016, and my name is Senior Chaplain Shalia Griffith. I am your co-host, together with my gifted and awesome husband, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, the host of our dynamic talk radio program entitled Come Together for Change. Every Monday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 o'clock p.m., Pacific Standard Time, and it is sponsored by our God-appointed ministries, Men in Search of Change, which is our website also, and HWG Outreach Center for Change International. For those of you who are not aware, our God-inspired Blog Talk Radio broadcast is geared towards the sole purpose of helping you make the necessary changes you need to accomplish your goals and God-given destiny through understanding the change process in order to be victorious in all that you do in obedience to God while you are traveling through your journey. Just know that God does sit high and he looks low, and he will take care of those who are obedient to his holy word on a daily basis. So just trust God. If he said it, he will surely do it. Praise God. And just so you know, unless we come together for change in love, in faith, in peace, and in Jesus' mighty name, we will never receive the full blessings that God truly has in store for us. For we must change what we have been doing in the past in order to accomplish your goals. Now, before you grab your Bible, your pen, and your notepad, why don't you give someone you care about a blessing today and tweet them, text them, call them, or just run right next door and tell your neighbor that Come Together for Change is on the air right now in the blessed city of Las Vegas, Nevada. All you have to do is dial 646-200-0578 while we are broadcasting for the next 30 minutes. We surely don't want them to miss this anointed word today. Amen. Did you know that words have creative power? When you take time each day to declare God's promises over your health, over your mind, and over your family and your finances, you are speaking victory into your very near future. These declarations will help you live a positive and faith-filled life. So today, I want to encourage you to read the gospel of Jesus Christ on a daily basis, along with a sincere prayer every morning, at noon, and every night before you go to sleep, and watch how things will just fall into place for your life and your family. As you speak victory into your future, you are starting off each day right by declaring God's favor over your life. Declare God's promises and see God's goodness, not tomorrow, but today, in Jesus' mighty name. You will have a new perspective in life and faith to believe bigger and to go beyond your barriers in order to reach your higher potentials. You will be stronger than ever, and nothing will be able to get in your way or stop you from what God has in store for you. Amen. At this time, we are going to have our inspiration for this week, which is written by our own senior chaplain, Hudson W. Griffith, and it reads as follows. So if you need, do you need a miracle in your life or something that seems impossible? Know this, we serve the all-powerful God, and he can create something out of nothing. He can make a way when there seems to be no way and open doors that seems closed forever. Remember, you were created in the image of Almighty God. There is power in your words, and there is power when you are in agreement with him. Start saying what God says about your situation. Speak life to your broken dreams today. Speak hope into the hopeless places. Keep an attitude of faith and expectancy, because God will turn things around for you and create something out of nothing. God is your ever-present help, because he is forever faithful to his word. So today, continue to trust God for what you need in this spiritual journey along your life, in your life. At this time, our topic for this week is making the last command of Jesus our first priority. Again, making the last command of Jesus our first priority. Our scripture will be coming from St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verse. And it reads as follows. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. At this time, now it is time to receive our special blessing from God for this week. And we do have a very special guest speaker on today, the Honorable Pastor Basil Yardy from Barbados, West Indies, who is presently living in Massachusetts. Our special guest will be brought to you and introduced to you by our own host of Come Together for Change, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith.
Thank you very much, Shalia. It's a wonderful privilege of mine to be introducing a mighty man of God whom I've known for more than half of my life. He's been like the Billy Graham of the Caribbean. He has been pastor of a People's Cathedral and Abundant Life Assembly. He's been an accomplished singer with several records and tapes to his name. He has traveled to many countries singing and preaching. I've known him for over 40 years. He's now residing in Massachusetts, USA. And I want to introduce to you a mighty man of God from my hometown of Barbados, Reverend Basil Yard. Go ahead, Basil.
Elder Hudson and Elder Shelia, what a joy it is to be on your show today. And I am eagerly looking forward to seeing you. We have not seen each other in I'm sure it's about 15 years, almost 15 years. And I'm eagerly looking forward to seeing you later this week. Today, I want to share some thoughts that have been on my mind recently. I've been a pastor for many years, all my life. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing that I've ever done in life is pastor. I've been a pastor and evangelist. And as a pastor, I have focused a lot on getting people to join the church. We train people to do evangelism and to win souls. But we don't focus enough on making disciples. It is possible to have good church members. I mean, really good, faithful, loyal church members. And they not be good disciples of Jesus Christ. What is the disciple of Jesus? And this is something that I've been looking at recently. When you read John's Gospel, chapter 17, you see everything that Jesus did in making disciples of 12 men. He starts by saying that he gave them eternal life, and then he gave them the word, and then he taught them about the Father. And he goes on to make reference to about 12 different things that he did with them, including sharing his glory with them and sending them back into the world and so on. And I believe that the church today needs to focus more on doing these things with church members and making sure that we make disciples for Jesus the way that Jesus made disciples. I believe that we need to focus more. This needs to be our number one priority, not getting them to become church members or getting them to accept our particular slant of doctrine or whatever, but getting to understand really what a disciple of Jesus is. Now, I came up with a definition of what a disciple of Jesus is. And this is based, this is not from from the dictionary, from any dictionary. This is based solely on what Jesus did with these 12 people, 12 men, as he discipled them or made disciples of them. A disciple is not just a student of Jesus or a student of the word or a follower of Jesus. We have many people following Jesus, but they're not disciples. We have many people who are students of the word. I heard one bishop in London some time ago. I was there and I heard him preaching. And in his message, he said, the blood of Jesus does not even have the power of the blood of a billy goat to turn anyone from sin, to save anyone from sin. And this was a bishop. He was denying the virgin birth and denying the resurrection and so on. And he is a student of the word. He is a theologian there. So that does not qualify someone to be a disciple of Jesus. When you look at John's Gospel, chapter 17, a disciple of Jesus is someone who has received eternal life and is being trained in the lifestyle of the kingdom of God until he or she is restored to the image and the likeness of God and is making disciples. Now, you don't have to argue with me. Just spend some time studying John's Gospel, chapter 17, and looking at what Jesus did with the 12, and one will realize that is a good definition of a disciple of Jesus. Now, when you read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, there are a few things that I note from this passage. One, that Jesus was commissioning or commanding these 12 people that he had spent these 3.5 years with teaching them the lifestyle of the kingdom. He was commissioning them in light of all that he had taught them, in light of all that he had done with them, in light of his death and his resurrection and his imminent departure from them. He now says to them, go, therefore, and make disciples. And everything that I did with you, I want you to do with those that you are discipling. The second thing is, it is not a polite suggestion. We treat it in the church today as though it is a polite suggestion. If you feel like it, or if you think it is your ministry, you should. No, it is a command. Jesus commands us, every believer, to go and make disciples. It is not something just for pastors and Bible school students. No, it is for every person. And every pastor and evangelist should be teaching and equipping the believers to do this, to make disciples. The third thing I want you to know is that God wants all men to be saved, but he wants to do it not himself, but through us. This sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty God needs you and me to save the world. He wants us to be involved. And that's the reason why evangelism and making disciples is so very important. It can only be done through us. Number four, it is God's original plan. God had this plan right from the beginning. As a matter of fact, when you read Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28, and I'm going to actually to just read that passage of scripture quickly for us, because it echoes, Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, really echoes Matthew chapter 28, or Matthew 28 echoes Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Jesus was, in effect, saying the same thing that he had said, that God had said to Adam in the beginning. Shelia, could you read that passage for us?
Okay, thank you. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Okay, thank you, Shelia. There are two things I wanted to note there this evening. One, that God created us in his image and in his likeness. And number two, that God sent Adam and Eve to go and reproduce in his image and in his likeness. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, you'll find that Adam had lost this image and likeness of God, and now he started to reproduce in his own image and likeness. Adam had obtained a sinful nature through his disobedience. He fell, and now his nature was sinful, and instead of reproducing in the image and the likeness of God, he started reproducing in his own image and in his own likeness. And go on to read chapter 6 and 7, and you'll see how wicked and evil the image and the likeness or human beings in the image and the likeness of Adam were. So sinful, not in the likeness of God, not behaving like God. That word image there is Tiflin, which involves the concept of a shadow or phantom or an illusion. An illusion is something that you think you see, but on closer observation, you discover that your eyes tricked you. So when you look at Adam, you almost thought you saw God. Adam looked so much like God. Not only did he look like God, but he acted like God. That's the word likeness is from the Hebrew word demuth, from the root dema, meaning to compare, or just like, or to act like, or acting like. Adam was acting like God. Psalm 8 and verse 5 says that he was created a little lower than God himself, and God created him a little lower than himself and crowned him with glory and honor. We were so much like God. But Adam lost this and created human beings in his own image and likeness. And it is only after Jesus because of Jesus, that man can be restored to the image and the likeness of God. Read all through the New Testament, and you'll discover that is what God is doing now. That is what is happening through Jesus, that we are being restored to that image and likeness of God. But we have lost this. The word glory means heavy or weighty. It's linked to the concept of authority. A weighty person is someone who has great authority. That's what Adam had. He had all authority on earth. The word honor that you find in Psalm 8, that word honor or hoard means value or esteem or grandeur, an imposing form of appearance and majesty. This is the type of person that God wanted to fill the earth with, being in his image, in likeness, in his class, looking and acting like him, full of authority and value and esteem and grandeur. When you look at him, you think you see God, not some outward thing, but something that flows from within. God did not intend, nor did he create some weak, insipid druggies to fill the earth with, some sex-crazed people who can't govern themselves. God created beings just like him. They lost that image and likeness, and it is being restored today. And the first thing that has to happen for that image and likeness to be restored is for someone to receive eternal life. Eternal life is the life or nature of the eternal God. When someone receives eternal life, they become a new creature. They're a new babe in Christ. And then they have to be trained how to live the lifestyle of the kingdom. But they have the Spirit of God, the life of God, the nature of God within them to enable or empower them to live this lifestyle as they learn it. And little by little, the old nature loses its control or authority in our lives. And this new nature, this Spirit of God, learning how to live the lifestyle of the kingdom, this Spirit of God enables us to be like God, to be holy, to be godly, to be righteous, to please God in every way. And I want to encourage our listeners today, those of you who have not yet received eternal life, this is what you really need. You don't need religion. You don't just need to become a member of a church. You don't just need to take communion and these different things that you learn to do in church. Church is good, okay? But it is important that you receive eternal life, the life or the nature of the eternal God. And secondly, it is important that you learn how to live the lifestyle of the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about the American-style kingdom of God. I'm not talking about houses and cars. And I'm talking about the lifestyle of the kingdom that Jesus taught. And I want to encourage pastors to equip your believers with this understanding of the kingdom of God and of what making disciples is really all about, and so that they can go and share the gospel of the kingdom, lead people to receive eternal life, and then enter into a discipling relationship, a friendship with them, so that those new believers can learn from them how to live the lifestyle of the kingdom. I believe that this is what church today is really all about. And we need to make this our priority. This was the last command of Jesus. And I believe that when he comes, this is what he is going to be asking us about. He's not going to ask us how full our churches were. He's going to ask us, did you make disciples? He's going to ask pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets and teachers, did you equip the saints to do this thing that I left you on earth to do?
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. I really want to thank Elder Hudson and Shilia for the tremendous work that you are doing to enlighten people through this broadcast with what our role here on earth is. God bless you.
Amen, amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Dr. Matthew Yard. I have known him for over 4 years. He's been an instructor in a school of evangelism. He's a great preacher, so if any one of you pastors are listening in and you want to have him on your to speak at your men's conferences or anything, you could let me know or be able to call him directly. I want to pray with you today for those of you who have had your difficulties in understanding God's word. I want the Holy Spirit to minister to you and open your eyes and hearts that you will listen to what God is saying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you for all you're doing. Let your Holy Spirit continue to minister to your people. Thank you for Reverend Basiliard as he spoke to us. And let him, Lord Jesus, continue to minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down every plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back this country from the hand of the enemy.
Let the church unite.
Get up and up.